formal sermon or whether it's a Sunday school class. So we are here gathered in God's presence. And the worship service, of course, is receiving God's word and we responding. No less than a Sunday school class either, right? It's receiving God's word and responding by faith. Well, I should have prepared a PowerPoint. I didn't. So we've got a little board here, and I'll try to write big so that we so it can communicate. I've been given the job of talking about financial and material support for missionaries so that we as senders holding the rope can provide the various necessary financial and material support. However, so let's start with a missionary family. Wow, this is going to be a challenge here. So, not really big. I should have gotten a PowerPoint. But anyway, as we've discussed throughout various sessions here, there are various kinds of support. And a lot of times, all we think of is dollar support, you know, monthly, whatever the support, financial support is. But there's so many, many other ways of support that I know that the mission committee is going to be recruiting and trying to develop these. Things like the encouragement of moral support, the logistics. There's so many things that those that are sent need help with of the details. Prayer support, engaging in the intense spiritual warfare involved in the spread of the gospel, especially across cultural barriers. The communication support, emails, being that contact person through to channel prayer requests back and forth. Help with reports. And the reentry support, when a missionary comes back for a home service or a furlough or retirement or transitioning to another ministry. There are all kinds of ways of supporting missionaries, and this is not one contact person that can do all this. It requires a team to hold the rope. So today, the financial or the material support, I'd like for us to turn our attention to Psalm 67. Blessed to be a blessing. Psalm 67. Let me read it from the English Standard Version. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Singing this psalm helps Israel to keep its own calling in view. God's blessing is simply not for themselves, but for the Gentiles too. It's amazing that they had this in their songbook. They sang it. But so many of the Jews developed the idea that God's blessing was for them as a chosen people, and the rest of the people were going to be judged. Yes, someday God will bring his kingdom, But the inclusion of the Gentiles into these Abrahamic blessings was something that often escaped them. The Abrahamic blessing given in Genesis chapter 12 and repeated to Isaac and to Jacob was, I will bless you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Repeated again, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Over and over again through the Old Testament, these blessings, the promise of blessing, not only to Israel, but through Israel to the Gentiles, was repeated over and over again. And this was fulfilled in the coming of Christ, the promised offspring, as explained in Peter at Pentecost, as well as in Galatians. Paul really says, this offspring has been promised, this seed, was specifically fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And all those who come to faith in him are now children of Abraham, his family, well, the family of God. And so, as an Israelite would sing this psalm, he confessed that he was a player in the grand story that stretches far beyond the boundaries of his own life and his own land. Since Pentecost, Israel's ancient prayer is being fulfilled more magnificently than could ever be imagined. You and I, too, are players in this drama that God has called the drama of redemption. Starting from before the foundation of the earth, through the plan of God, calling of Abraham, all those promises given in the Old Testament, the fulfillment through Jesus Christ, and now the proclamation among the nations. You and I play a key part, a key role, God-given, that we have no idea the results, the extent of God's working. Think of God's story of redemption, one story. Not just a series of small stories kind of collected together. One story. You and I have been given a specific role in that drama. And our role goes way beyond. Through every prayer we pray in faith, through every act and word of witness that we make, that witness affects other people, who then it flows to other people. And I just want us to gain a bigger picture of our lives as not just living for the glory of God now, but through us, other people can experience God's blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now we are participants in God's grand story, the drama of redemption, both as recipients of his saving grace as well as his chosen vessels, blessed to be a blessing. So as we go to Psalm chapter 67, I'd like to just outline it a little bit here. Let's see here. This is not an official, so to speak, outline from the commentaries about the whole structure. But as I read through this, I saw a flow here. Well, let's see if the blue one works better. Yes. First of all, we have a request in verse 1. And then in verse 2, we have a result. And then we have in verse 3 through 5, a further request and result. And then we return again to a request that has been also already given in verse 1, and a further result. Okay, let's look at the first request. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. This is a repetition of the Aaronic blessing given in Numbers chapter 6, which says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Now, this is a priest, Aaron, giving this blessing to the people. You. Now, in this psalm, it's personalized. They receive this blessing and they personalize it, saying, the Lord bless us. Make his face shine upon us. Be gracious to us. That is the essence of worship. Receiving God's blessing, his promise, personalizing it, and then making it our own, a response. So the request is, God bless us. For what reason? Often we consider blessings as material things, for our convenience, for our smooth life, for our material prosperity, for our security, we don't have to worry so much, and problem-free living. Doesn't that sound great? But is that why God blesses us? Look at verse 2. Here's the reason, the result, the purpose of God's blessing. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. The knowledge of the way of the Lord is that intimate relationship with the God of Israel through the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Savior. This saving power, this salvation is, well, it's scripturally, it is a very, very broad, all of God's blessings. We could include there all his benefits, his kingship, his rule, his blessings, his promises, everything that is necessary to take us from self-centered, dead, spiritually dead people to being alive, God-centered people. And so, this result, I've listed it as 1B, is that God may be known among all the nations. His saving power, his salvation may be known all across the earth. And then the second part, number 2, there are further requests and a result. Look at verse 3 through 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Can you see in these two choruses, 3 and 5, just a crescendo of response to God's blessing? God, you've blessed us. Now, may this result in the nations praising you. God's acknowledged rule is extended to include the Gentiles so that they may praise, have joy, and gladness in the Lord. That's not the case now, but that is what God's drama, what God is moving toward. And what does he do? He blesses his people so that that will happen. In Romans chapter 1, Paul gives an excellent, very in-depth introduction to his book, to the Romans, his epistle to the Romans. And there he says that This era has now arrived with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the proclamation, the giving of salvation to us. When I say further requests and further result, it means that the first request was, God bless us, so that your ways may be known, and then the peoples praise you. Then he kind of returns to back to one of the original requests, 1A, stating it. It could be stated as a statement, but it also is very, very filled with a request. The earth has yielded its increase. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, shall bless us. There's an expectation here. And we could say it's like a request again. Verses 6 and 7a, the Lord has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Again, then we come back to the final result. So that all the ends of the earth fear him. True faith is receiving God's grace and by faith living in obedience to God and his ruling Son. That's the prayer. That's the song. And what it does is lifts us from our myopic, obtuse way of thinking just about ourselves and the blessings for us to saying, why am I blessed? It's so that the nations may come to know the Lord, serve him in love and fear. Now, this is a pretty big gap. My blessings, or the blessings I receive, and the nations praising God. That's a Grand Canyon scope of gap, isn't it? How in the world do we go from my blessings or the blessings that I receive to the nations praising God? All the peoples praise you, O God. Wow, that's great, but how in the world do the blessings I receive result in that? Well, first of all, we have to define blessings here. This is way beyond mere material blessings. Blessings of all the spiritual, immaterial things that we live grasping by faith. God is the source of all blessings and benefits. His grace is the basis of all his blessings. These are the undeserved expression of his love for his children. Specifically in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Yeah, we know about those. But man, I sure hope that my bank account doesn't run out before the end of the month type of thing, you know? Or that I won't have this any unexpected bills or, you know, all the, you know, that I can have health and the material things that we long for, that we put our security in, definitely are God's blessings. But when you compare about what he has given us in Christ Jesus, in the heavenly places, it's by faith that we have to say, okay, these are blessings that we have now, but what God has promised us and what we are actually the holders of right now, the value of that is much, much greater, leading us to live by faith in these promises of God. So blessings here include the overflowing joy and thanksgiving, a deliverance from the emptiness of self-centered living. In our evangelism in Japan, we had to be very careful that in preaching Christ and asking people to respond, we were not allowing them merely to add Jesus to their God shelf. Every house has a God shelf that they have multiple gods on, enshrined there. And it's so easy, we all have a God shelf in our heart as well. It's so easy just to think about adding Jesus to that God shelf. And we've got other things we're trusting in. But here, just add on Jesus and cover the bases. That is the thinking of many, many people. No, this is saying that God shelf is totally worthless. It is at enmity with God and His rule. There's only one Savior, Jesus. And He does bless us materially, but He blesses us in the heavenly places with spiritual blessings of far, far greater worth. And so, to bridge this gap between what God says we are blessed with, to be a blessing so that the nations will praise God, requires us to redefine what blessing means. These are all the spiritual blessings, including the work of the Holy Spirit in us, regeneration, the body of believers that we've been put into, the family of God, the confidence that as we read God's word, He will give us understanding and lead us, the spiritual protection in the spiritual battle we are engaged in every day. These are blessings that we need to raise the value of and bring the material value, what we value as material blessings, bring them down to the proper level. So, in addition to redefining blessings, we also need to understand, it's not specifically mentioned here, but the whole concept of stewardship. We are vessels that carry God's blessings to others. What is a steward? Not the owner, but merely the person who gives wise management of somebody else's possessions according to the will and plan of the owner. So these blessings that we've received, material and spiritual, are God's gift to us to be stewards of it, of them. God gives freedom and joy to be generous, faithful stewards, no matter what the earthly limitations may be that we face. Oh, I don't have a big bank account, therefore I really can't give, is an excuse that many people have. But the example of the Macedonian churches, specifically Philippi, challenges us on this. Remember what they did? In deep affliction, poverty, they heard about the believers in Jerusalem who were under persecution, and because of the famine, they were really, really struggling. And Paul was taking up an offering. And the Philippian believers, the Macedonian believers, came and said, Paul, we want to participate in this. I can just imagine Paul saying, whoa, wait a minute. You guys can't even meet your own needs. No, Paul, we want to. And Paul calls it a grace of God. Every gift given by faith is a grace of God. And so it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to Paul and the offering for believers in Jerusalem. That's a very important principle. Gave themselves first to God. And so material blessings and gifts that we give are not merely some extra that we don't need. These are, first of all, have to come from a heart that is first, that has given itself to God and His will. There are so many ways in which we can hold the rope by providing material and financial support. And these, as I mentioned before, are not just isolated, they are included in the rest of the kind of support that we've been talking about. the encouragement, the moral support, the communications, the logistics, the prayer support. And so these various aspects of support are not kind of isolated roles, but together, they are working together. How can the prayer support, or how can the logistics and the financial support be given without the prayer support? Or the communications? So God is putting this all together, and I think in this conference, we are expanding our idea of what support means from just that financial figure to all these other ways that work together. Let me give you a challenge that there's many, many challenges we could give, but we had come back from Japan hoping that we could be very involved in international student ministry. But because of some other circumstances in our life, God has kind of set that aside. We just don't have the capacity at this point to do that. But we've asked somebody regarding international students at a college, could you introduce us to some students that we could host for Thanksgiving or Christmas? How about you guys? Thanksgiving or Christmas, a break. Many of these international students are just going to be sitting around not knowing what to do. But if we host them, bring them to our house, include them on our family activities. If they want to go to Black Friday, fine. But engaging people through hospitality, especially these international students, I just want to put that seed into your heart and say, ask you to pray, God, how do you want me to be involved with that? Maybe not hosting, but praying for somebody else that is hosting. Because there's students at Bethel, Heston, Tabor, WSU, and if you have contacts at KSU and KU as well, that students that are looking for a deeper contact with America besides just the dorm. May God bless us, be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations, so that all the nations may praise you. May God expand our understanding of what he has for us. Honestly, we live in America, a secular country, society, materialistic, and no matter how much we try, this influence soaks into us and it affects us. It affects how we define things, so that blessings tend to be things that help me, satisfy me, make me comfortable. And we forget that these blessings include much, much, much more our relationship with Jesus Christ, his working through us, the work of the Holy Spirit, our participation in intercession. These are blessings that we need to greatly increase in value. And of course, then, it's both the material but also the spiritual blessings. How are we stewards of them? How do we take them and use them according to God's will in our individual settings and in our individual roles in life, in our families, in our communities? When I was assigned this topic of financial and material support, I started thinking, and my wife and I started thinking about all the ways that you as a church and many other people have supported us over the years. And there have been many, many ways, but let me just give a few. In the early 1980s, as we were preparing to follow God's leading and go to Japan, one of our supporters. We hadn't gone yet, but definitely was a supporter. He advised us, wait until the U.S. economy gets a little better before you go. I highly respected this supporter, but I'm so glad we didn't take his advice. It was through the leadership of the church here. They said, if God's leading you to Japan, then go. Don't wait. Did the economy get better? Well, that's debatable about in the 80s, there was a lot of ups and downs. Well, it came to 1989, our first home service. We had gone with two babies. Two more children had been born to us in Japan. Now we're coming home, and Send International, our mission agency, is saying, before you go back, you've got to have 100% of your next term support pledged. Well, that is based upon children, number of children, and their educational needs, okay? Well, now we'd gone from two children to four children, and our children are starting to go to school, which requires tuition and things like that. Not only that, but over our first term, the dollar had lost about almost half of its value against the Japanese yen. We came back, our first home service, almost needing to double our support. But God provided. Lots of people prayed, lots of people gave. Well, we went back our second term, and the dollar kept going down. It lost almost another 40%. So in those two terms, it went from 260 yen per dollar down to 85 yen per dollar. Nothing changed except the exchange rate. And we are now dealing with so much less buying power. I mean, just for paying bills, utilities, rent, travel, things like that. But God provided through the sacrificial giving of many, many people. I remember one time we were ready to go back, and we still needed $500 per month support. We had gotten permission to get our airline tickets, and we had said, okay, we've got some savings. We really believe God wants us back. Maybe we could self-support and contribute to our own support so that we could get back in time. So we made plans. Actually, we were en route to Japan when I received an email from somebody that they were giving an estate gift of $24,000. I figured it up. $500 per month over 4 years, it's $24,000. Praise God. There's a family of girls with some girls the same age as our girls, and they labeled their support from our kids to your kids. Another family adopted our kids as their missions project, and they gave us lunch pails filled with all kinds of fun things for the kids. This wasn't a financial gift so much as it is a material gift that encouraged us, that was really a teaching for their whole family, that it was not just a monthly gift from mom and dad. This was the family gift to our family. And there was tremendous teaching value in that for the whole family. And we appreciated that. We received that as a family. One church's Sunday school class gave us a set of hand chimes to use in ministry. And it was very effective. It was of interesting things. In Japan, they're called tone chimes. And so we would use that for all kinds of events. And Eileen would pass out the tone chimes, hand chimes, and direct the, and it wasn't really fancy, but the joy that it gave people of being able to participate in something new. Another family, here from the church, provided bicycles for our children during one of our home services. Every one of our children had a bicycle and to use. That was a real blessing. All of a sudden, we got a notice from somebody named Deanne Hasse that she was starting to support us. So I contacted her, and I said, "How is it that you found us? Why are you supporting us?" She said, "Well, I went to the SEND website, and I wanted to support somebody from Japan." And I said, "What's your connection with Japan?" She said, "My father, whose name is Hase, is a Japanese. But he left Japan a long time ago, and I don't know anything about Japan, but that is my heritage from my father. And so I just wanted to participate in the gospel ministry in Japan." And so she supported us for many years. Over the years, we've received care packages. You and many others have participated in some of the projects we've listed, since such as scholarships for camps for kids to go to, Bibles and Bible story books that we could buy and then give out. One camp needed some river rafting boats, and people have contributed to that as well. Over the years, people have given us quilts. One lady made matching dresses for our three girls. One church that we visited and supported us, they have a missionary room, they call it. It's kind of like a cupboard. They go in and said, "You're back on home service, pick up anything you need." And there's all kinds of things, from various clothing to soaps to, you know, everything, just to help supply us. We are overwhelmed with the generosity of people. One family knew that we would need a car. And they said, "We're going to need a car too, but not right away." So they bought a used car, had it fixed up, and they gave it to us first to use for a year. And then when we left, they took the car and traded out with their old car. That kind of generosity just overwhelmed us. But they were a blessing. That God blessed them to be a blessing. In the same way, all of us, in various ways, have been blessed to be a blessing. And so I say these things, that verses 3 and 5 may be true to you today. As I relate how God has provided, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." So in my prayer is that in your heart, you will say, "God, thank you for being faithful to the Barkmans and all the others. Bless me to be a blessing to others in whatever way you choose, materially as well as spiritually." What does this look like? I believe it comes back to recognizing the blessings that God has given us. Physical, material, but much, much, much more than that, the spiritual blessings. How can we bring these blessings to bear, you know, with generosity so that the nations will praise God? That requires us to redefine what blessings are, as well as understand our stewardship of these things. I have to admit, I often have to repent when I receive blessings. What's my natural first go-to? "Wow, I must be special. And in God's sight, I am. You are too. But why has he blessed us? To be a blessing. So, as a steward, I receive these blessings. How do I bless others? Whether that's holding the rope for someone into the various ways of support, whether that's having an attitude of gratefulness in our neighborhood instead of complaining and criticalness. Understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the value of prayer so that God is working in other people's lives as we witness, as we testify to how he's provided for us. God wants us to be part of his one-story redemption story so that as we live out blessing others through our blessings, others' peoples will understand. Just think of who was the person who brought D.L. Moody to Christ. I don't know. I'm sure there's some place in history. But think of the people that D.L. Moody led to Christ Jesus. Many, many. Now, each of those, as they proclaimed Christ, so that first person that shared the gospel with D.L. Moody, his witness connects with all these other people. Who introduced you to Christ? Somebody who also was introduced to Christ through somebody else. And so as we look at the big picture of redemption, everything from the beginning, and I know technically it's not true, but from the call of Abraham that he would be a blessing, he would be blessed to be a blessing, all the way to the when God makes everything new and everything is made right, when Christ returns, everything that God is doing is interconnected, and we are part of that. There is none of us are off by ourselves doing our own little thing that's unconnected. God connects it all. Every prayer of faith, every gift that we give, financial as well as material gift, every way in which we hold the rope, God is connecting not only in the circle that we connects with us, but over there and much further through the people that are blessed over there in cross-cultural situations. I want us to have a bigger sense of what God is doing and our part in it. It's a challenge, but we have to keep in mind the huge picture of salvation history that we are part of, but also the value of our specific role and place right now, here in 2025, in Newton, Kansas, or from wherever you are, that God is using our lives, our attitudes, our witness of both words and deeds to affect. They all have part of this. They are interconnected in the big picture of what God's doing. May God bless us to be a blessing so that let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. We have to live by faith that God is working. He is making things happen way beyond our imagination, way beyond what we can imagine. So that's what it means to give and live by faith. God is working. But we have to be released from that self-centered living of, oh, these blessings are for my comfort, for my security, for my enjoyment. Yes, God does give enjoyment. But for what reason? We are blessed to be a blessing. I've come to the end of my notes, and I really wish we had a smaller groups to be able to just talk together, but I don't think the logistics are quite facilitate that right now. So I'll just close and we can have a shorter Sunday school time, okay? Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, how gracious you are to have mercy on us. We were not part of your called people originally, but you were in our heart. We were in your hearts as you gave that promise to Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. Thank you for a wonderful Savior, Jesus, who has opened the door for the Gentiles, us, without covenant promises, not knowing you, living in the bondage of sin, and you saved us. You've called us. And you're making of all peoples one family through Jesus Christ. Thank you. Help us to live out these things, these precious promises, these treasured truths in our daily living. Free us, Lord, from the thinking that is so much around us that these blessings are for ourselves, for our enjoyment, for our self-centeredness. Continue, Lord, working to deliver us so that we can truly be blessed to be a blessing. Lord, bring about that day in which the peoples praise you, when your way will be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations, and all the ends of the earth will fear you. And to that end, Lord, may we be good stewards of all these blessings you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.